going to try doing things a little bit differently this morning, because I'd like to be able to record songs onto this. I can only record the songs that are free of copyright. So you'll find the older songs we managed to get on this recording. The newer songs, if you've got YouTube, you might have to click onto yourself. So we're going to start with our first song, which is Abide With Me. Let's pray together. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Speak your message of love, of comfort, of hope. As we gather in our different houses, would you be with us and may we know your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now today, the message is one that I needed to hear, and I figured that if I needed to hear it, other people might too. I wrote this sermon on Tuesday morning, having gone to church the previous night, taken away everything that I might need for the coming weeks working from home. And as I locked up the church, I felt this overwhelming sense of grief. Just sadness at everything that's going on, at not being able to meet together, at not being able to do what we normally do. And sometimes we know that that's okay. So today I'm not going to preach to you from two chapters in the Bible or even two verses, but just two words. And these words are the full extent of John 11 verse 35. Jesus wept. But to understand the sermon, I guess we do really need to know the full story. So our reading this morning is from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This story is often told around this time of year, coming as it does in John's Gospel, immediately before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's actually the Church of England's lectionary reading for this weekend, which I only found out after I was doing it. But it's a story that raises some questions, doesn't it? We're told at the beginning that Jesus has an existing relationship with this family, that Lazarus is one Jesus loves, and he's ill, very ill. What do you do when someone you love is ill? Well, in normal times, you'd want to go and see them. A few weeks ago, that's exactly what we would have done. A few weeks ago, this sermon might have been slightly different. But what about now, if someone we love is ill and we can't go? When we know that for the sake of others we love, we need to stay at home. I wonder, did Jesus feel something of this? His disciples warned him of his own danger if he returned to the area of Jerusalem. Thomas suggested that they would die with Jesus if they went. Who does he endanger for the sake of the one he loves? What emotions might have gone through Jesus' mind at this point? What kind of conflict might he have been feeling as he had to decide what to do? He says that the illness will not end in death but will glorify God. But at the same time, there are those he loves who are suffering. In these days, as we reason to ourselves that someone is not at risk, that they're young or healthy, that the flu, even the coronavirus, will not kill them, we still know that they're suffering and we worry about them. Do you think Jesus worried any less? To worry about someone doesn't necessarily mean a fear of their impending death. It means a solidarity with their suffering, a wish that we could alleviate the problem. We feel helpless when we cannot do anything, even more so when we can't even go and visit. Jesus must have known all this. He must have known his friend's mental and emotional suffering, and yet he stayed at home. Jesus wasn't afraid of the people of Jerusalem. He was waiting for the death of Lazarus. Only when Lazarus has died does Jesus say, "Let us go to him." 2 days. 2 unnecessary days of delay and anguish among his friends as they watched their brother die. By the time he arrives in Bethany, he finds that Lazarus has been buried for 4 days already. Mary and Martha are surrounded by people who had come to see them and comfort them, but there was no Jesus. Is it any wonder that Martha pulls him up and says, "If you had been here, this would not have happened." If you had been here. If you had been here, Lord, you could have healed him. If you had been here, we could have known your comfort. If you had been here, we would have had you to lean on. Why weren't you here, Jesus? Why didn't you do something? This is the friend you loved. Why did you leave him when he needed you? Why, Lord? Why did you let him die? Don't we ask those questions too? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why do your churches stand empty and your people live alone? Where are you, Jesus? Why aren't you here? Why don't you do something while people die around us? Why don't you come to us when those you love are sick? Why do you let your church fall? If you had been here, this would not be happening. Jesus has one answer, and the answer lies in himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha looked forward to a resurrection at the judgment day, but that wasn't enough to comfort her now. Knowing that it will all be okay in the end doesn't really help in the face of grief and loss. What helps is faith in Jesus, and that's what he calls Martha to. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I wonder if she really understood what he was talking about. Martha goes to get Mary, her sister, and she arrives to where Jesus is, surrounded by all the people who had come to comfort her. And this, we might feel, is the strangest part of the story. Because Jesus, who has purposely stayed away in order to bring glory to God, who has told his disciples that he's going to wake Lazarus up, who has told Martha that your brother will rise to life. Jesus, who knows the end of the story, sees the people weeping, and he weeps too. Jesus wept. The people around him said, "See how much he loved him." I would disagree. I don't think Jesus wept for love of Lazarus. Jesus knew that in just a few minutes Lazarus would come walking out of the tomb very much alive. I think Jesus wept for love of the mourners. I think he wept for the pain and grief around him. I think he wept for the suffering of Mary and Martha. I think he wept because those he loved were weeping. They found the God who was apparently absent in their suffering becoming one of them, suffering alongside. They found the God who seemed to be doing nothing to help coming in and identifying with them in their grief. They found the God who could have stopped the trouble in the midst of it. But only after that, only after the time of waiting and pain, only after the advent of Jesus in that pain, does he do anything to respond to it. In all the pain of these days, whether God feels absent, whether we wish to shout at him, why? Whether we are simply weeping and surrounded by those who are weeping, we recognise that Jesus is here. He is in this. He is crying with us. He knows our fears and our loneliness and our pain. He is one of us. And that feels difficult because we know he could just step in and fix things. It feels difficult because we believe in his power and his love, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything with it. This is a slow-moving story. Jesus doesn't rush about to get things sorted out. To a certain extent, he allows his friends to suffer. But he doesn't allow them to suffer alone. He suffers with them. He suffers with us. Even he who knows the end from the beginning goes through the pain and grief of day-to-day life with us while we wait for him to act. He knows the hope he's provided. He knows what he's going to do. But for now, he feels our sorrow. But he is the resurrection and the life. He says to us, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" He will call forth the dead with new life, remove the bindings of our isolation, and let us go once again in his name, in his time, in his power, for his glory. Why not now? We cannot know, but we know that he has not forgotten us. It's not that he doesn't care. Paul writes in Romans 5, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." As we grow in this time of trial, may we fix our hope on God. As we grieve for our current losses, even though we know they're only temporary, remember this: Jesus wept. Let us pray. Lord God, we're grieving right now. We're separated from those we love at a time when they need us most and we need them. We're separated from each other. Thank you that we're never separated from you. In the darkness, may we know your presence with us. May we know that your tears are mixed with ours, that you feel our pain. Bring us through this, we pray, and show us your glory as your church rises from the grave to stand together again in your name. Send us your Holy Spirit to comfort, protect, and strengthen us as we wait upon you. And thank you for that resurrection hope that we have in Jesus. Amen. Maybe we can sing together, "From the Squalor of a Borrowed Stable," remembering the God who has gone through all our trials and sufferings and continues to do so. "He walked my road and he felt my pain, joys and sorrows that I know so well. But his righteous steps give me hope again. I will follow my Emmanuel." For those of you reading this at home, the words are on a separate sheet. For those of you on the computer, I've included a YouTube link. And after we've sung the song, we come back together for a time of prayer. So let's move us into a time of prayer now as we bring to God those joys and sorrows today. I'll just give a few guides as to things to pray for. It might be helpful if you have the news sheet in front of you with the prayer requests on. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can come together in spirit even in this time of difficulty and isolation. Thank you for the technology that allows us some kind of contact that would have been unthinkable years ago. We pray for this community of your church at Laneham Baptist as we try to continue to be church at this time. Guide us, draw us together, hold us close to you. We pray for those of our church family on the news sheet who need your love and care right now. We pray for those in the church who are isolated or who are experiencing difficulties in the unfamiliar circumstances of home working, children, caring for vulnerable people. Would you strengthen them and give them your peace? We pray for our community. For peace, for strength, for comfort. May they know your presence and seek you through this. We pray for our nurses and health workers and others who are on the front lines trying to protect our health, our well-being, our supplies, our communication. Give them strength for the task. May your grace abound towards them. May they have the resources they need. Keep them from fear and enable them in the practicalities of life. We pray for our government and the decisions that are being made. Give them wisdom, give them courage, and give them rest, Lord, in the knowledge that they're doing everything that they can do. May they too seek you and know you at this time. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our final song is Like a River Glorious. And the words are on the sheets that I've provided. thank you for joining us this morning. Tony's asked me to tell you that if you want a tea or coffee, you have to get your own, I'm afraid. If you want to contact me with any questions, comments, thoughts, I'd love to hear them. May God bless you and keep you safe as we go through this week. Amen.